Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
June 2020. 12:33 a.m. on July 1st.
Is the sound of protesters booing at City Hall. What are they booing? They're booing the City Council as it passed the final version of a New York City budget last night. Today is July 1st. The new fiscal year begins today. They were up late, passing a very contentious budget. Protesters and activists were watching the City Hall Zoom session on a projector in front of the municipal building. That was some of the sound there. Their main point of contention remains too much money for the NYPD. Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Mayor de Blasio says he's met the demands of protesters that he has taken $1 billion from the NYPD. Here's the mayor.
$1 billion is shifted away from the NYPD in a variety of manners. We will be canceling the upcoming recruit class that would have started in July. And we're going to make sure that patrol strength is consistent by reassignments from administrative duty to patrol duty, by ensuring that the NYPD will make revisions in some of the functions it performs, ceding certain functions to civilian agencies. We're also going to focus on overtime. This has been an area of real concern with many agencies, but obviously with the NYPD.
The mayor promising there that patrol strength will be consistent. That may not be what every neighborhood, certainly what every protester wants, the mayor yesterday. Still, though, City Council Speaker Corey Johnson, the other main player in the budget negotiations, said the numbers don't add up.
It is no secret that I was in favor of at least $1 billion in spending cuts to the NYPD, and this budget does not include that amount.
Corey Johnson says the $1 billion figure was only reached by including fringe or associated costs, he calls it, and calling it a $1 billion cut is bad faith. AOC weighed in on Twitter, calling the calculation a trick. Still, the budget passed last night in a 32-17 vote. That may sound like 2-1, but that's a lot closer than most city council budget votes get. We'll talk about that. And some council members took pains to express that this vote was about more than the NYPD cuts, that they worked hard to save social programs like the Summer Youth Program and the Compass Beacon and Cornerstone Summer Camp programs, all of which were on the chopping block in the mayor's original budget. Here's council member Lori Cumbo yesterday. She represents parts of Fort Greene and Bed-Stuy.
This discussion is bigger than $1 billion. This is a discussion that is going to be long-term. This is a marathon discussion. This is not a sprint. This is not a hashtag. This is real work. And today, we are continuing that real work.
But with saving programs comes cuts to things New Yorkers have come to rely on. No more citywide composting. I know some of you will react to that. No more fair fares. You know the program that subsidizes mass transit fares for low-income New Yorkers? Less trash pickup. Tree maintenance will be reduced. And more. With me now to go over as much of the final budget as we can and to take your questions and comments about it is Sally Goldenberg, City Hall Bureau Chief at Politico New York. Hey, Sally, thanks for the time. As I suspect, you've been burning the candles on both ends with this.
Yes, thanks for having me.
What time did the budget pass?
It was after midnight. I don't remember the exact time, but it was shortly after midnight. So they were, I guess, you know, the goal is to get it done by July 1st. So they were just a few minutes past that.
And the budget passed by a 32-17 vote. Is that an unusual number?
It really is. I mean, most, you know, pieces of legislation and budgets pass the city council overwhelmingly. It's a 51-member body with, at any given time, no more than, you know, four Republicans. I think there's three at the moment. So there have been a few very close votes over the years over contentious things, term limits, congestion pricing, come to mind. But for the most part, the vast majority of bills and particularly budgets pass overwhelmingly.
And listeners, our phone number for your budget questions and comments, 646-435-WNYC, 646-435. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong phone number. See, my mind sometimes goes into, it flips back to the old phone number from when we were in the studio after doing it for decades. So the real number is 646-435-7280. That lets us take your phone calls and screen them and everything from home. 646-435-7280. At least I caught myself. Or tweet at Brian Lehrer, 646-435-7280. Again, that phone number. And by the way, coming up, we will move from New York City politics to New Jersey politics. We're going to preview next Tuesday's primary, and we know some of you are already voting because of absentee ballots, allowing early voting more than usual this year. So New York, then New Jersey, then the great Princeton professor Eddie Glaud at 11 o'clock this morning. And then at the end of the show, much later, we'll talk about the pros and cons of working from home from employee standpoints and from employers' standpoints, now that so many more people have been doing it for a few months. Okay, so that's what's coming up today. Sally Goldberg, City Hall Bureau Chief at Politico New York, is with us right now. So Speaker Cory Johnson spoke yesterday about feeling divided by his colleagues, that some people agreed with him that NYPD cuts should go further, but that other colleagues, and he singled out his colleagues of color, were wary of whittling away police activity. Here's an example of that. Council member Vanessa Gibson from the Bronx.
I represent a district who has residents that want to see cops in the community. They want to see the NCO and the community affairs officers. They don't want to see excessive force. They don't want to see cops putting their knees in our necks, but they want to be safe.
Councilmember Vanessa Gibson from the Bronx, among other things, former chair of the Public Safety Committee. So, Sally, can you talk a little bit more about the divide within the council?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a common divide to see among people who represent older districts, which may be districts of color, which may be predominantly Black and Latino, you know, who have higher crime rates, who are torn about calls to defund the NYPD. It's not, you know, a perfect division along racial lines, because you have members like Carlos Menchaca, Donovan Richards, Antonio Reynoso, who are Black and Hispanic and voted against this budget. But there are certainly members in the Black Latino Asian Caucus who represent districts that have residents who they say are more, you know, not as reform-minded, don't want police brutality, of course, as Councilmember Gibson said, but don't want to get rid of police and don't want to, and don't view them quite as skeptically as people in other districts who are, you know, calling for deeper cuts to the NYPD. They may view the cops as keeping their neighborhood safe. They might have relatives who are working for the police department. So it really does complicate the conversation, because it's not, you know, it's not an even split.
And let's dig into that $1 billion figure. If the mayor says it is a $1 billion cut to the NYPD and the speaker says it's not, is the truth knowable?
The truth is a matter of interpretation, I think. There are cuts, that there are reductions in spending on the ledger of the NYPD that the mayor is calling a cut that many people think is, you know, sleight of hand. For example, moving school safety agents from the NYPD to the Department of Education and, you know, having them still do the same job at a different agency, and an agency that was actually loaning the NYPD the money in the first place, to many people feels, you know, not like not a real movement toward reforming criminal justice. And that's a big chunk of the $1 billion.
And yesterday, public advocate Jumaane Williams said he would use his charter, as he put it, as public advocate, to block the budget from being passed if it did not include a hiring freeze for cops and a plan to take cops out of schools. Now, before we get into whether those demands were met, yesterday was the first time I had heard of such a charter provision, or Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One, who was my guest in this slot yesterday, and he's been covering City Hall for many years. Can you explain how it works? Can the public advocate stop the budget?
Well, I also had never heard of it. I've covered City Hall for a long time, and I didn't know that that was something the public advocate could do. I'd never heard any other public advocate raise that possibility, and many of them have had contentious relationships with City Hall over the years. So I think that also is a matter of interpretation. You know, we'll have to see if he does it and, you know, what efforts are made to block that by City Hall, because it's, in my memory, it's never been tried before, so I don't know whether he'll be successful. But it is kind of a remarkable thing to block the collection of property taxes. That's a major source of revenue for New York City.
And is there a mechanism that's clear to you by which he would have to do it? Would he have to go to court?
Well, he has to sign. You know, I'm not entirely sure because it's a brand new thing that's being raised here. It is mentioned in the city charter that both the public advocate and the city clerk have a role in the collection, but I'm not sure if either one does it in isolation or, you know, I'm just not sure, like, mechanically how that would work.
Right. And we're going to go to our reporter, Gwen Hogan, in just a minute, who's at City Hall. But just to finish this thought about what the police cut is or isn't, or at least a complete part of the thought on that demand from Jemani Williams about a real hiring freeze. They did eliminate the incoming class of July officers from the, you know, from among the cadets. And I think with the April class also having been canceled for the moment because of the pandemic, that's about 12,000 new cops who will not be hired. And I don't know if there's a prospect beyond that class of hiring any other new officers in the foreseeable future. So does that count as a hiring freeze?
Well, it kind of depends on who you ask. I mean, it is fewer people coming into the department, and there are people who leave. And typically, I think the city council had said at one point about 2,300 police officers leave on average in a given year. So if they are not replaced, it is a reduction in head force. It's not enough of a reduction for many people. And I also think that there's, you know, it's a one-time decision. There are academy classes all the time. So people are asking, well, what about the next set of classes? Could they just beef the force that right back up?
And what about those cadets? They've gone through the police academy. They've, you know, the ones who passed the police academy, they were expecting to be hired. I guess that's the expectation if you successfully go through the police academy, and now they're not. What happens to them?
Well, I think they're canceling a recruit class, so I suppose those people, you know, just would have been expecting to take the class and then get hired, and they take the class in July.
Oh, I see. So that class, it's not like they're graduating. It's not like they've already done it.
There may be some in that boat, but I believe they canceled a recruit class.
Got it. Let's go to WNYC's Gwen Hogan, who is checking in with us live. I should say WNYC and Gothamists, Gwen Hogan. Hey, Gwen, can you hear me, and where are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm in the Occupied Plaza outside City Hall. They've, you know, folks have been here for a week now. And right now what's happening is the lead organizers of the occupation are kind of packing it up. They had said they would be here through the budget vote, and they're kind of, you know, talking through people about the successes of the last week. They're encouraging people to stay active and stay in the plaza if they want, but the main infrastructure that kind of kept the plaza running is going to be phasing out throughout the day.
What do they consider are successes or things that are less than successes from their encampment?
Yeah, I mean, obviously making this issue of defunding the police a mainstream issue and keeping public pressure throughout the budget process. You know, one of the activists who was on the mic says, you know, we don't like this budget that we got, but like this, we got it because of the work that we've done in the last weeks. And I think, you know, there's sort of, nobody's happy with the budget deal, of course, but there is an acknowledgement that what they got because of weeks and weeks of public pressure and marches in the streets.
How many people were at that encampment at the end of the process? And I hear they're still making their voices heard. I presume that's live behind you.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's a number that fluctuates, you know, throughout the day and then throughout the night. Right now, I would say there are several hundred people here, maybe like 200. It was, you know, last night there were thousands of people here. They had expanded out of the plaza and had taken several roadways nearby, but it sort of comes and goes. Like marches would converge here and then the numbers would grow, and then, you know, throughout the night maybe there would be smaller numbers of people staying the full night, you know, like a small hundred or several hundred.
And who were the core activists? Any way to describe them politically or demographically, anything?
Yeah, there's a couple of groups, actually nonprofits, that have been doing this kind of advocacy for years, that are leading this main occupation. You may have heard of Vocal New York. DSA is here. There are several other groups Democratic Socialists of America. There's several other organizations that have these networks that have been organizing along these issues for a long time, that are holding this space down and organizing supplies and all that kind of thing.
Are any police officers going to get in trouble for the confrontation that took place yesterday? I saw video of some of that, several videos posted on Gothamist that people can still see, where when the protesters tried to block off a street down around City Hall, cops moved in physically to move them. You can see on the video, using their batons to physically push back the crowd. Then I gather there was at least one broken bone, you could tell me.
There was a violent scuffle yesterday morning, and then there were scuffles before I got here this morning. Activists say there were two people arrested this morning, but police haven't confirmed that yet, and there were reports of people being body slammed. That's a great question, Brian. I saw yesterday that the attorney general, or that maybe Gail Brewer, was asking the attorney general to look at what happened to James, to look at what happened yesterday. And you know that she has ongoing probe into how the NYPD has handled protesters over the last month and a half. That's ongoing for sure.
WNYC in Gotham, it's Gwynne Hogan at City Hall. Gwynne, thanks for all the reporting. We'll hear you through the day.
Thank you. Take care.
And Sally Goldenberg, City Hall Bureau Chief for Politico New York. Anything from Gwynne's live report there that you want to chime in on?
Well, I think it's, interesting that, and I was wondering this myself, whether the protesters would sort of take the win and say, it is because of our work that this budget is what it is, versus, just slamming the budget is not going far enough. So I was kind of curious which posture they would present this morning. And it sounds like, from what Gwynne was saying, that they are acknowledging some success and some victory in this budget, even if they're not happy with the outcome.
Let's take a phone call. Agnes in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Agnes, thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning. I'm surprised they got through. I'll try and talk very fast. I live in Highbridge in the Bronx in Vanessa Gibson's district. And she did not listen to us a few years ago when they were hiring 1,000 more new cops, and we said no. She didn't listen to us when we came into City Hall. We made the front page in the newspaper. I'm in her area. She does not represent my voice or many of the voices here. When I moved, I just got to get this in quick. Some of us fought the roving scanners of Ray Kelly. Do you remember the roving scanners?
Remind
that was where the police would just show up at a building and just start searching everybody. This happened in Chelsea, where my daughter went to high school. James Bolden, of all schools. And we fought the police then. And Christine Quinn actually apologized to us parents for what the police had come in and done to our children. So I want to thank Kelly for that, because my daughter has now just taken the bar. She's a lawyer, okay? Because of what she experienced of the police coming into the school. Now, I live in her district. The 44th precinct is here. Look up their lawsuits. Look at how much abuse they have poured into this community. I don't want the 44th precinct on my corner. She lies when she says that. I don't want them on my school. So Vanessa Gibson does not speak for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't listen to us years ago. $25 million was spent on that retraining. Remember that weekend retraining that was a waste of money? She voted for that. So she does not speak for us. We don't want more police, and we don't want them near our children. But my daughter's a lawyer, so maybe she can fight them in court now.
There you go. And that's great to know that your daughter got inspired through social justice experiences that happened to her into the legal profession.
Actually, abuse. Abuse. It was not. It was abuse of children. It was abuse. Brutal abuse.
Agnes, how would you respond to the content of the Vanessa Gibson clip that we played where she said, I represent a district who has residents who want to see cops in the community affairs officers. They don't want to see excessive force. They don't want cops putting knees on our necks, but they want to be safe. So she feels that there's a role for police officers in a city where shootings are on the rise this year, for example. What would the proper role be in your eyes?
The police are not educated or trained for living and breathing on this block. They are about control. They are about coming in, and they do not show respect for the community. I don't care what she says, and I don't care who she's speaking to, because she's not speaking to me, and she knows, okay? We are out there, and we have been out there all these years telling her, you are not representing us properly, okay? We do not want the police. They are not astute to. They are not trained to. They are not trained. Well, hey, every time they come in here in the 44th or in the Bronx, or you see the videos, they don't come in respectfully. They don't come in nicely. They come in and push everybody around. You could be the victim, and you're calling them, and you can get pushed around.
Agnes, thank you so much for your call. Don't be surprised that you get on. You know, that's why we're here. Take your calls. So call us again.
Well, listen. Stop giving the mic to people that are representing their little grouping, their little church, or their little... it is not true. The Jews do not look to the NYPD for anything.
I hear you,
even
Agnes.
The littlest one.
Agnes, thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to keep giving the mic to all kinds of groups that we are going to do, but certainly including you. So, Sally, well, actually, let me go right to another caller. We're going to go to Alec in Queens. Alec, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in. Hi.
Hi, Alec. I'm Brian. Thank you
much.
I want to thank you for keeping this matter at the forefront, and this is what is needed today. And I have been working for the police department for over 20 years, so I can give you an insight of what's going on. And why is it that it has taken demonstrations and marches now to show that there's misspending and that the department is actually, you know, wasting a lot of money? It's gone over budget by horrendous amounts of money. And I can tell you there's so much misspending. I mean, really, Are we geared to be a military organization or officers that should go out there and serve the community? So why is it that we have a need for military-style vehicles, 8 helicopters? Why is it that we have to give anyone with a rank of captain and above take-home vehicles with paid easy pass, with paid gas, you know, from the city, from the taxpayers? Why do people get all of these perks? Why is there so much misspending? Why is it that there are officers sitting in offices that are not anything related to police work? Hundreds and hundreds of them. So if you actually have financial auditors going to the police department and say, hey, we have to look for ways to cut, you will see that there's so much misspending by millions and millions and millions of dollars. The mayor can't just turn around and go to the head of the agency, the commissioner, and say, hey, find me where you can make cuts. You can't say that, because they're going to say, well, we really don't have anything to cut. While the truth is that there's a lot of misspending in the department. Overtime is abused. And you have people that stay in the department you know, for 30, 35 years because it's an easy job. It's just a show-up job, and they don't have anything else to do. And they make it, every officer, the minimum pay that you get once you hit top pay is $100,000.
This is a great budget call, Alec. I nominate you for the new CFO of the NYPD. Thank you for being so specific. Let me ask you one follow-up question, since you say you've worked for the NYPD for decades. Should it be dismantled and redesigned from scratch, as City Council Speaker Corey Johnson, I mean, they didn't pass that in this budget, but he's calling for that. They're talking about doing that in Minneapolis, the city where George Floyd was killed, of course. Is that a thing, in your opinion, that could be done, that could make our previous caller, Agnes, and others like her, happier with the NYPD in their neighborhoods?
Brian, I have been saying this for years. But I'm not one that has power or authority to say that. It's just an opinion. But I believe that the department has to be reassessed and built from the ground up, starting with the fact that people should go to the academy for a minimum of 2 years and trained in cultural awareness. Cultural awareness. You're hiring people that don't even reside in the city. Why is it that you go to all these other municipalities on the outside, even Long Island, and they require you to be a resident? You don't have to be a resident of the city, but yet you come here and you collect the paycheck from here and you're happy, but then you leave. All you come in here to do is to police. And these enforcements, unfortunately, these young people who come out of the academy after going in there for 6 months, they become indoctrinated and they're told from the higher ups, this is what you need to do. So the blame goes to the police officer when the actual enforcement orders come from the top.
Alec, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate your voice. Please call us again. And Sally Goldenberg, City Hall Bureau Chief for Politico New York. Wow, some callers we're getting this morning.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Is there talk of dismantling and reinventing the NYPD? Corey Johnson did come out with something like that a few weeks ago. Is there a hint of that in this budget, or what happens with that next?
Well, it's not in this budget. I think that's why people are so upset. But there's certainly people talking about it. Excuse me. And I think this budget is done now, but I think as people run for mayor to replace Bill de Blasio next year, for council speaker, I think these conversations will take on even more relevance because they'll be in the context of a new mayoral administration coming in. And so, I think the entire frame of criminal justice is going to be a huge part of that conversation.
Also in the budget, pertaining to cops, the removal of them, from the schools, at least as NYPD, the school safety agents are now going to be Department of Education employees. Here's Council Member Lori Cumbo again talking about why she didn't want to just fire those in-school agents.
Many of the members of color did have issue with firing and laying off people of color that are the first ones into the NYPD, but also our school safety agents and many other agencies where black and brown people, predominantly women, are working. Many black women are the heads of their households. To simply say that they are no longer going to have employment is the wrong message. How do we make them better support staff within our school system? How do we take away handcuffs? How do we take away guns? How do we do all of those things?
City Council Member Lori Cumbo. So, Sally, demographically, she's indicating there that the school safety agents, though NYPD employees, are mostly women of color?
That's my understanding, yes.
And so do you have a sense that these school safety agents will be retrained by the Department of Education?
I think that that's the plan. I mean, whether that comes to fruition and what that training looks like remains to be seen. I think the sense is, you know, you hear from students who are involved in the political movement at this time
that they don't want cops in schools. They don't want to feel criminalized. They want to learn. You know, we've seen statements like that and spoken to people who are in school who have said that. And so I would imagine that if the city council and the mayor, but more the city council because it came from them, wants to actually affect change and make good on what they're saying is an attempt to do reform, there would be a retraining. That said, my understanding is the council member that you played a clip from is correct. Most school safety agents are lower paid women and people of color.
We have a few minutes left. I want to touch two other things. One is the really huge topic of other things in the budget that got passed last night. I mean, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars in cuts overall because of pandemic-related revenue shortfalls. And also there's some breaking New York City pandemic phase three news from the mayor, which I'll get your reaction to. But in terms of overall cuts, a picture is still emerging because the administration did not release any detailed documents before the budget was approved. But hundreds of millions of dollars, as I understand it, will come out of education. And there's a hiring freeze per se at every city agency beside the NYPD. Where do you think New Yorkers will feel the squeeze of the budget most, if you've been able to get a close enough look to tell?
Well, as you said, a lot of information wasn't released last night. But my understanding from the statements that have been put out by advocates and council members is that some of the services essential to lower income New Yorkers, older New Yorkers, senior centers, summer youth, I guess they restored some of summer youth, but senior centers, I think, are taking a hit. A number of social services that people rely on. I mean, we're waiting to see the final picture there, but it's a, and I think that they're going to do some, they're going to have some talks with the city's labor unions to, you know, the mayor dangled the threat of 22,000 layoffs, I think, in the hopes of getting the capacity to borrow for his operating budget. Albany said no to that. And now he has to sort of actually talk to the unions and see if there's a way to either do a slowdown of payments, you know, of raises that were coming due in, I would assume, in his hopes of avoiding widespread layoffs.
Let me take one call on one other aspect of the budget that eliminates a program that we've gotten calls to the mayor about before on this show. So let me give Alan in Brooklyn a voice complaining about
Good morning, Brian.
A particular cut. Alan, you'll have to make it quick because we're over time, but go.
Sure, Brian. I think this is analogous to the Al Gore image of the frog in the fry pan. The environmental issue is something that happens so slowly we don't really understand when we're allowing it to happen. And this is analogous to what's proposed to end the composting program. This kind of disaster won't happen all of a sudden, but if we unravel the gradual progress we've made to reduce the waste and of land and materials and productive recycling programs, it may not be as much of a top of the fold story, but it's something we should be avoiding. And it's analogous to the image of the gradual killing by policemen by putting a knee in someone's neck. You're not doing it with a gunshot, but gradually we are hurting the earth if we end programs like recycling and composting.
Can voluntary composting still go on in people's buildings if the citywide program has been canceled?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you. Is there any way to...
I have a private home where during the pandemic, because I don't want to travel to the local drop-off point, I've been composting some in my backyard, but it's not a viable option long-term.
Right. Alan, thank you very much. So, Sally, composting program gone, and as we hear from Alan, environmentalists will not be happy.
Yeah, I mean, organic waste, which is food waste and yard scraps, make up about one-third of the city's waste stream. It's an enormous amount of garbage. It goes to landfills. Landfills are terrible for the environment. It goes to incinerators, also bad for the environment. I know WNYC has done a lot of reporting on this, and Politico has as well. There have been efforts to really expand that program. It's expensive, but people feel, you know, people who support it feel that the long-term upside, you know, would dramatically outweigh the cost. And the de Blasio administration really was never fully committed to it, despite, I think, the sanitation commissioner pushing for it, and they zeroed it out completely. So now there's just no opportunity for residents to recycle their food and yard waste.
Was it expensive?
I think if they did a full program, it would have been expensive. They did a very small voluntary pilot program, so it wasn't. But if they did a full, complete citywide pickup program, it would initially be expensive because you have to build out those, you know, the capacity to take that material. The thinking from people who know more than I do who support it is that over time it's actually cost effective. So there's an upfront cost
that
goes down over time.
Right. And Fair Fares, $65 million in funding for the subsidized Metro cards for low-income New Yorkers. That was hard fought for.
Yeah, and that was one of the central programs for Speaker Cory Johnson, who's running for mayor, so I'm sure he's disappointed about that, you know, from a substantive and a political point of view, because that was something he pushed for and he was associated with it.
And last question, breaking news from City Hall. I had it in front of me and now I don't. I'm going to pull it back up. And here it is. The mayor has just announced we will not have indoor dining in New York City next week. That was supposed to kick in with limited capacity, of course, but indoor dining back in New York City next week under phase 3 reopening starting next Monday. I guess the mayor looked around the rest of the country and said, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, look, the cases are exploding in other parts of the country. New York was the epicenter for a while, and he was criticized, you know, pretty roundly for not seeing it early enough, not listening to public health experts, and I guess he doesn't want to take any chances. Spaces in New York are very small, you know,
like yeah.
Everything is crowded, and why take the chances, what I'm assuming he's thinking.
And let's hope that we're not going to have a new surge here after doing so well, because
exactly.
They've decided that reopening was a political statement in a lot of other states, and look at the consequences. And of course, we can't close the borders. So, or we're not closing the borders. So Sally Goldenberg, City Hall Bureau Chief for Politico New York, thank you for your reporting and thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.